Blog Talk Radio.
Because I know that when people listen to you and they hear your powerful testimony about how
you took matters into your hands when the physicians or the doctors gave you a bad report. You had some choices to make, some hard choices to make, and you're here today to tell other people that if they make the right choices, then they can have the same powerful testimony that you're going to share with them. Dr. Lathan, for those who are just tuning in, I want everybody to know why they're listening to you in addition to the awesome resume that you have. Could you please share what brought you to holistic health and how you yourself even overcame the diagnosis of thyroid cancer and how you did it?
Sure. I'm happy to. It's really how I kind of shifted into doing the work that I do now. When I was diagnosed in 2007 with thyroid cancer, I didn't have a lot of knowledge about healing the body naturally and how to use food as medicine and all of those things. I probably was like most people and had a concept of a healthy diet, but hadn't really delved into it. And so once I got the diagnosis and realized, you know, the course of treatment that they were giving me or advising me to take was surgery, meaning, you know, I'd be on medication forever after that. It just didn't sound like a good plan for me because I'm not one who wants to be dependent on anything, particularly medication like that. So I said, you know, I'm going to take a natural approach to this. I just decided I was going to research it and figure it out. I had heard, you know, just in my, you know, dealings with people about other people who had healed from cancer naturally. And I immediately thought about that, and I thought, you know, if they can do it, I don't see why it wouldn't work for me, so I'm going to figure out what they did exactly. So I just started searching research on the internet and talking to multiple doctors and all types of, you know, therapists, from chiropractors to everyone and anyone who had some knowledge on the body and healing. And as I was researching, you know, it came up pretty clear that plant-based diets heal the body of not only cancer, but a lot of other things. And so I switched to that diet. I switched to a whole foods diet, meaning I got rid of all of the boxed processed food that I was eating, got rid of the dairy that I was eating and all of that, and switched to real food, food that actually nourishes and heals the body, because it's really difficult to try to heal the body eating processed food all day. If your food is, you know, breakfast starts in the microwave and lunch is at a restaurant and dinner is another box of something that you just heat up, there's no live enzymes. There's nothing that heals the body in that food. That's just keeping you alive poorly. And so I realized that's a lot of what I was doing. And so I, you know, switched up the diet entirely and came up with a nutrition and supplement plan for myself and decided to stick with it for at least a year to see what would happen. And, you know, at the end of that year, the cancer was gone, well, a little over a year, about 14 months. The cancer was gone. I was cancer-free. My thyroid had shrunk to normal size. The goiter was no longer a goiter, it was smaller, and I was healed. So it was quite a feat and a life-changing event. And, you know, I had let lots of people know along the way what I was doing because I wanted information. And so I didn't go into this with a biased point of view that, oh, I'm going to be, let's say, vegan or I'm going to do this. I was completely open to tell me what it is to do, and it just came up time and time again, whole foods, plant-based, fresh, real food, supplements, exercise, rest, meditation. And so I incorporated each of those things one at a time and got the results of being cancer-free. So, of course, I wanted to let everybody else know, like, wow, you know, your healing is in your refrigerator, hopefully, or it's at least at the farmer's market. So I wanted to let everybody else know that, you know, you do not have to be a slave to the system. You do not have to be a cog in the wheel of traditional medicine, which is what they wanted me to be. I mean, from the first time they tell you you have cancer, the next thing they do is start scheduling your entire life. From there, as if you are just a widget, they don't ask you what you want to do. If you're going to check out other options, they just say, oh, we'll schedule your surgery for blah, blah, blah. You go here, you go there, you show up here, and basically you're a money-making.
Doctor? Okay, we're going to get Dr. Latham back on board. Just want to say hello to everybody that's out there listening. You're listening to Jawanza for Life. Again, if you are listening, you heard that powerful testimony, and Dr. Layton's call just dropped, so we're going to get it right back. But and I
291395 is not available at the tone.
Okay, we're going to get her back. Again, thank you so much for tuning in, and you heard that powerful testimony about how she took matters into her own hands, and as a result of her doing that, she is here today to share her very, very powerful, powerful testimony. But one of the things that she did was she started to research. She researched. Dr. Latham, are you with us?
I am.
I'm sorry
right.
about that. And you remember the thought that you left off on? You were in the middle of a statement.
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying you basically become a cash cow as part of the system without any real regard to you as an individual. And I got that feeling right from the start, from the moment I was told about the diagnosis to him telling me, my doctor telling me what they were going to do. We will schedule. I was like, wait a minute. I haven't said yes to this surgery yet. How are you going to schedule? And so something right there at that moment went off in my head to say, no, this is not the path. They are not really concerned with you and healing. They're just following a blueprint now that you've got this diagnosis. And I decided that I wasn't going to be another cash cow for them. I was going to actually take my health in my own hands.
Well, doctor, how did you confront? I mean, I applaud you for that, because, again, a lot of people, when they go to the doctor, they assume that the doctors are the experts. You know, they figure, okay, mm-hmm. well, the doctors, they've gone to school. They got the white coat on. They have the plaque on the wall. They know what they're talking about. And mm-hmm. a lot of times people don't ask questions, I think, is because they really don't know what to ask. You know, it's like sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you've heard sometimes people say, use the statement, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. In many
right.
cases, you don't know what to ask. You're confronted with all of this. The doctors are saying, look, this is what you've got. This is what you've got to do. You know, and if you don't do it, you're going to die. You know, so how did you deal with the initial shock? And was there fear that you had to overcome? Because, again, when you're talking to people about taking somebody down a different path than the norm, even though the normal path that we see people going in is not a very successful path. The people that we know that have had cancer, in many cases, if we just think about it, the last few people that we've known that have cancer, I'll speak for myself, they did not overcome it. You know, the last
right.
few people that went the allopathic route, the ones that went the allopathic
right.
route,
they don't,
you know?
a lot of them don't survive. I mean, that is true. And so a lot of people think, oh, you're like, you know, being almost irresponsible to take an alternate path when you have the system that they have all this chemo and radiation and all these things ready to give you. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Most of the people that I know who have died from cancer were going through the allopathic regime, and it was making them sicker by the day. So to me, it's like, you know, you have a lot of people who are very critical of a natural approach, but when you look at the results and the actual outcomes of the traditional Western approach, the results are very poor, very poor. And oftentimes when people switch from the Western allopathic approach and then switch to a natural approach, it's harder because now your system's compromised. And so then they might not have as successful a result or as quickly because you have been decimated with all these other drugs by the time you decide now to do the natural approach. And so when you look at the raw data, it's very poor for cancer. You know, we have some successes with early cancer, you know, with surgeries and getting it early, and that's awesome, but a lot of times we're only looking at a five-year the window, so that the statistics for cancer particularly are somewhat skewed because they look at a window of 5 years or less. So they say if you survive 5 years, you have beaten cancer, when that's really not true because a lot of people have recurrences of cancer after 5 years only because it's taken that long for it to reoccur or to manifest itself again if they didn't change anything. So let's say you have colon cancer, you get it cut out. The doctor says, oh, you're fine, pats you on the back. You go back to eating your ribs and you know, potato salad and cheese pizzas and all the other junk. It might take another 5 years before something pops up, and now you have a recurrence. But they've considered the first one a success. When all it did was cut out that piece of cancer, it didn't remove, you know, cancer cells from your body, it didn't heal you, it just cut it out, and then you did nothing to stay well. So the statistics are very poor for that. So, and, you know, and the side effects are awful, whereas when you look at, you know, alternative medicine or natural medicine, as I call it, the success rates are great. Usually people feel better. I mean, when I was going through my regime of my nutritional plan, I felt better than I've ever felt before because I was eating the healthiest food I possibly could. I was practicing, you know, meditation and calmness and faith, and I didn't have a doctor breathing down my neck telling me what to do. I was just having faith in the process and treating my body well and building the immune system. So everything I was doing every day was designed to help boost my immune system. And so obviously, if you're doing that, you're going to feel better. You have more energy. You have more peace. Unlike some of the traditional quote-unquote therapies that make you sick, make you weak, make your hair come out, and all these things that are kind of counterintuitive to health. And so it has some very, I know people who died from chemotherapy itself. They didn't die from the cancer. My own aunt was quite up in year 70-something, I believe, and had, I believe it was colon cancer, and within 2 weeks of the chemotherapy died, where she would have had at least another year with doing nothing. You know, so I'm not that I'm advocating doing nothing. I'm just saying oftentimes, the supposed cure is worse than the disease. In that case, you know, for someone who is elderly, I was like, there should have been some alternative treatments there. And that was well before I had studied and known about what to do for cancer, diabetes, and all these other things. So that's why I like shows like yours to inform people that, you know, just because someone's in a white coat doesn't mean they're right. The doctor told me he'd never seen anyone healed of thyroid cancer naturally, so I guess he's wrong. So right there, they don't know everything. And I guess something about, I just innately felt like they don't know everything, and I'm going to find out what they do. Because what I have noticed is that doctors do practice medicine. They give you a drug, see if it works. If it doesn't work, they give you another one. So that in itself tells you they don't know everything, right? So we were experimenting a little bit. And so I have been through that process before. And so by the time you have a certain course of antibiotics, if you've had like a reoccurring issue, you kind of know the regime. They're going to try this one, try a stronger one. And it may or may not work, or it may have some negative side effects. You might break out, you might get nauseous, you know, whatever. But it's showing you that obviously they don't have all of the answers, or, you know, the first one would have been the correct one, right? So something about the whole process kind of just let me know that, you know, this is not foolproof. They are using their intuition and knowledge just like I can to decide what to do, and I'm going to make an informed decision.
You know, doctors, every time I hear your testimony and I, you know, speak with you, I get inspired and encouraged, and I just want to go stand on a mountain and blast your interview so the world could hear it, you know, because it's so inspiring, you know. And I know that, and you would agree, that if you did it, that anybody could do it. You know, that if you did it, that this information
Absolutely.
Is just not to you, but that, and that's what you're doing. You're sharing this information so other people can hear it. And if you are going through this yourself, or you have a loved one that's going through this, that this could be their testimony too. But I would like to caution people that, because I was having a discussion with a friend of mine today, and you know, we were discussing just the whole allopathic versus, you know, the holistic route, and you know, he gave a scenario, you know, that, you know, I'd like to share and get your take on it. And that was mm-hmm. that if, for example, let's say you take somebody that is doing the allopathic medicine route. And when we say allopathic, we're talking about the prescribed medication that the doctors at the hospital prescribe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that. And then they decide that they're going to stop doing that, or transition from that into a plant, whole food, plant-based diet, and they come mm-hmm. off of the allopathic medicine. And then, let's say, you know, a few months later, they die, you know. And, of
mm-hmm.
course, my response
mm-hmm.
to that was, well, you got to make sure that you're giving that they're actually following the, you know, whatever the regimen, the holistic regimen is on, because there have been people that who they don't do the whole thing, you know. For example, you might take somebody
mm-hmm.
that might, I'll give a good example, I think, somebody that might be sick, they might say, okay, well, I heard that, you know, burdock, yellow dock, and red clover are good for the body, and so they might start taking herbs, but they still eat meat, you know, they don't change,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't change their lifestyle,
right.
you know,
right.
So it's got to be a holistic approach, and the people that are actually giving you the, or helping you to transition, if they're not vegetarian, because we're talking about a vegan lifestyle here. So if somebody
mm-hmm.
is not vegan themselves, for example, if you take somebody that's caring for an elderly person and you're taking that elderly person from a meat-eating diet to a plant-based diet, well, if the elderly
mm-hmm.
person is not preparing their own food and they're relying
mm-hmm.
on someone else to prepare the food for them, then it's very possible that somebody who's preparing the food for them, if they're not vegan themselves, might feel like, okay, well, you know, a little meat ain't gonna hurt, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so,
sure.
And so they might compromise, is my point, the regimen or the diet that is prescribed. And if then the person does not get well, they could always blame it on, well, we did the vegetarian thing, it didn't work, the person died. But they might not have given
right.
the, you know, they may have compromised because own lack
mm-hmm.
of, are you with me on this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are so many factors, and I'm not going to say that in every case a natural approach is going to work either. Sometimes things are too far gone, caught too late, and it takes sometimes a while for a natural approach to catch up and to build the body up to be able to overtake what's happening, and that happens in traditional medicine as well. It's like you caught it so late, and it's growing so fast, especially with cancers, that it's hard to overcome it in time. You know, given time, it probably would work. So nothing, no approach is 100%. We're going to say that right off. But particularly, because I've heard people say, oh, well, Steve Jobs took a natural approach and he died. Well, we really don't know what he did exactly to heal himself. We don't know what he did before. We don't know what he did, you know, before he started the natural approach, how soon or whatever. So it's really, you know, very hard to say. So number one, when you're taking a natural approach, you need to go all in. You can't do it halfway. You can't, you know, pick and choose pieces. You really do need to work with someone who knows about this, who has some experience working with people with your particular illness and using a nutritional and holistic approach to it. So that's number one. You can't half do it. You know, anytime you start adding healthy supplements and things like that, vitamins, yeah, it's going to help. But the question is it enough to heal? Is it enough to switch the body from sick to well? Is it enough to boost the immune system so that it can do its job fully? That's the question. And so when I advise people, I say we have to do a holistic approach, because it's not even just the food. It is the mental state. It is the environment. It is the stress. And so some people, they do the food part, but they neglect the emotional piece, you know, because a lot of times our illnesses are there because we've ignored an emotional need requirement for so long that it manifests itself through an illness. And so it's like, that's a very critical piece, you know. And the reason I say that is because I've read about it, studied about it, but I also experienced it for myself with my thyroid shrinking. It wasn't until I started doing more meditation and visualization that I started seeing results in that area. And because of that, it brought me more peace, and it also makes the body more alkaline, which is a key to healing naturally. So it's like you can't do half step it. It's like, so I work with people who might do all the nutritional stuff, but very negative, very fearful of death, very just, you know, stressed out. And I'm like, it's really critical that you work on that piece just as much as the food piece, because those elements of stress, fear, you know, fearing of death, thinking about death, all of those things acidify the body even more so than the medications you might take or the food you might eat. So you can almost nullify what you're doing with a bad mental state. So it's really a holistic approach to healing. So you have to look at the nutrition. That's the easiest and the first place to start, your supplements and building the immune system, and then the emotional, spiritual piece, stress reduction piece is also critical, and just having, you know, healthy relationships as well. So that's all a critical piece. So when you do all three of those things, then it's very difficult to fail. It's very difficult to fail, because some people have been able to heal themselves with just the mental piece alone. Okay, and some people have been able to heal themselves with just the nutritional piece alone, and some with just, you know, emotional and supplements and things like that. So when you put them all together, it's very difficult to fail. And so and a lot of times what people are doing is they're doing pieces of it, or they're doing, you know, oh, I'm going to do a juice fast, or just that, or they don't do it long enough, or not the right type, or whatever. So it's, you know, people make blanket statements without really knowing the details. And that's why it's important to educate yourself and then work with someone, especially if you're in the midst of an illness. You need to jump on this quickly. You need to work with someone who knows and can give you some advice on how to move forward.
Everybody, I just want to let you know that if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening on by your telephone, all you have to do is press 1. If you're online and you have a question, all you have to do is dial 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. So now let's take somebody, doctor, who might be elderly. Okay, and mm-hmm. they are, you know, in their 80s, and they are taking the allopathic medicine. You know, they're doing what the doctors say do, and mm-hmm. we, you know, as we discussed, you know, the side effects are devastating. But let's talk about mm-hmm. chemotherapy for an 80-year-old. I would imagine that mm-hmm. that could be devastating for somebody that was even in tip-top shape, but at 80, you know, mm-hmm. you're kind of on the other side of the top, you know, health that you've ever been in your life. So can you just talk about the devastating effects of chemo, period, but how much more of that could be devastating for somebody who's elderly?
Sure. It's a tricky situation with chemo, because the goal is to give you enough but not too much, meaning not too much to kill you but enough to kill the cancer. So it's a very delicate balance. And with any disease, when you're older, the effects are, you know, greater. And that balance between life and death is a little more thin and critical. So just like, you know, when an elderly person gets the flu or pneumonia, it's much more critical, because you just don't have the stamina and the energy to fight it off. as a younger person would. So it's it can be very devastating, just like I mentioned with my aunt, who was in that age range almost, and the effects it had on her. So it's, and then it also depends on how strong you are before you have the chemo. So if you're a very vibrant 80-year-old who, you know, still walks and exercises and basically lives on their, you know, lives independently, then you'd have a better chance of surviving it. But if you're, you know, very sick, sometimes they won't give someone who's really sick and that old chemo, because they know that probably that'll tip it over the edge in the negative side. So because what chemo does is it breaks down everything. It breaks down the immune system. It breaks down the body in an effort to also kill, the goal is to kill the cancer, but in the process it's killing a lot of other things that keep you alive. So it's that I would take that very cautiously. You'd also want to be doing things that repair the immune system very quickly. You know, a very clean diet, lots of juices, other you know, supplements, aloe vera. There's a ton of things you can do to help the recovery time to speed up, and hopefully they give the lowest doses in those cases. But it can be very devastating, and it can cause death pretty quickly. So that's something you have to take on a case-by-case basis. I would be leery of it. I would, you know, try to go with the natural approach. But also sometimes, you know, depending on the type of cancer that you have, sometimes it's growing so fast that you need to do a combination of a holistic and an allopathic approach in order to kind of arrest it, and, you know, before the natural approach takes effect. So you can't go wrong with eating a plant-based diet during this time, and taking supplements and juices and you know, yoga and stretching and meditation and visualization. All those things will help the recovery time a lot quicker. But, you know, it's something to do on a case-by-case basis. You know, in some cases, just depending on what the situation is, allopathic might be the best approach. Let's say have the surgery and take it out, and then continue with a natural approach from there on out. I mean, that's an option. It's not an all or nothing proposition here. You don't have to say, you know, shun all forms of Western medicine, but you do have to know the side effects. You do have to know the risk of that, and then weigh that, and then look at, you know, what can I do at the same time to offset these negative effects that are going to happen, that have been shown to happen, proven to happen. Because I've worked with people who are doing a natural approach to their diet, they're juicing, they're doing all the things holistically, and they tend to recover from the chemo a lot faster, or have very little side effects to it. Whereas other people who pretty much get decimated after a round of chemo, where they're out for a day or 3 or 4 days after chemo, other people who are doing the whole foods approach while taking chemo tend to bounce right back and almost have no nausea and all those other side effects as well. So you really can't go wrong with taking a holistic approach in combination with the allopathic approach as well.
Everybody, again, you're listening to Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's got an awesome testimony. I mean, she cured herself of thyroid cancer. It changed her whole outlook, and now she's going around teaching everybody else that, hey, they can do the exact same thing. And she adopted a plant-based diet, and as you can tell, she's a proponent of it because it works. And we're talking today about, again, the devastating side effects of allopathic medicine. Since we're talking about side effects and stuff, let's talk about for a moment just the microwave, because there are going to be some changes that are going to have to be made if we're talking optimal health here. If you want to live optimally, there are going to be some changes that you need to make. We're, of course, proponents of a vegan, dairy-free, meatless diet, but there are people who still use the microwave. It's become such a part of America's everyday lifestyle. It's like the cell phone now, you know, people walking around with cell phones up to the side of their head all day long, radiating themselves. Same thing with the microwave. I mean, mothers actually put baby formula in the microwave, which is a definite no-no. Could you just talk about just the side effects of the microwave and why we should not use that machine?
Sure. That is one of the first things I got rid of or stopped using since it was bolted in. I didn't get rid of it. I just stopped using it. Was the microwave once I learned the devastating effects it has on our food. So what it does is it heats the food quickly. And because it's heating it so fast, you know, my understanding is the very simplistic view of how it works is that it causes the molecules to rub against, you know, hit each other and heat up food, and that's kind of how it normally works. But the microwave, like, turbocharges that, and it kind of violently heats the food in a way that turns, you know, food that was healthy into now carcinogenic food. So, or it kills a lot of the nutrients of the food. And so you'll have some people say, oh, what, but it maintains some of the vitamins, you know, that get cooked out of food when you, like, say, boil it. It maintains the vitamins. In some cases, that's true, but it also introduces, it creates a reaction in the food that's not normal and not healthy at the same time, and it often kills nutrients. I mean, they've done studies showing that the vitamin K in baby formula is pretty much destroyed when you put it in the microwave, which is why they advise you not to do that. And, you know, in addition to the uneven heating, you know, scalding and things like that. But it's, you know, because of that killing of certain nutrients. So now if you consistently microwave your child's bottle, the child's going to be deficient in several nutrients, malnourished. So number one, it kills quite a bit of the nutrients. Number two, it changes the food to things that are now carcinogens. So you know, so if you're eating boxed food that's already bereft of nutrition, you know, and then you stick it in the microwave, now you're taking food that had, like, maybe, you know, 20% nutrition in it to make it to almost zero, and now it's a carcinogen. So you're basically eating nothing. And that's why we get chronically ill when we're eating like that, because we think we're feeding our body nutrients, but we're basically eating nothing. And so over time, the body, you know, it scrimps and tries to get what it can from the food that we eat, the piece of fruit that we might add in here or there, but it's not enough. So the microwave is very detrimental, not to mention it giving off radiation. Now, the newer microwaves give off less, but you still shouldn't use it at all. But you certainly shouldn't stand in front of it like so many people do. It's a direct radiation, especially the older, larger microwaves are emitting radiation. And so when I see people standing in front of it, it's like you're radiating yourself while you're waiting for your food that's being radiated as well. And so you're getting, you know, a double side effect there. So it's not something that should ever be used. And if you ever come to my house, you'll see dishes in the microwave because that's where I use as an extra cabinet because I do not use the microwave. And so it's just something that, you know, I remember growing up when everyone else had a microwave and we didn't have one yet. And I was just so like, oh, when are we going to get a microwave? I can heat this up so much faster. And I, you know, looking back, I'm glad that we finally got one, but it was delayed by several years. And I'm glad because we had at least those few more years of not, you know, killing our food before we eat it. So it's something to give up. I just switched to using a toaster oven. You know, number one, started eating fresher, more raw foods to begin with, so I didn't need the microwave as much. But then when I was heating foods, I just used a toaster oven instead, used a natural form of heat. It works just almost as fast. You just have a little more patience, but at least you know you're getting food that still maintains, you know, more of its nutrients and hasn't turned into a carcinogen, especially with meat that changes very quickly.
Everybody, again, I'm sitting over here just in really enjoying this conversation because I'm just so happy to be able to share Dr. Lathan with you because again, when I'm trying to share information, I can't share like you. So I'm always, again, telling people about you, telling them to tune in. And by the way, if you're listening and you know that somebody that you know should have heard this information, but for whatever reason they're not on the line, on the call with us, the shows are archived. So you can actually go back and listen to the shows again and again and again. Dr. Lathan is a regular on Juwanza for Life. She comes on once a month, and she's done several shows, and they're all awesome. And you can go back into the archives and listen to the shows if you and share the shows with other people that you know would love to hear this information. Again, we're talking about the side effects, the dangerous side effects of allopathic medicine. I'd like to ask this question, too. And by the way, if anybody else has a question, all you have to do is just press 1. But let's say, for example, you take somebody who has had breast cancer and had their breasts removed, and we want to make sure that this cancer doesn't reappear anywhere. But, of course, now it's probably safe to say that the doctors are going to be recommending certain drugs. Now, if we're talking about prevention, you would use the same approach, the same holistic approach that you would as it relates to prevention in the first place, I assume, for making sure and ensuring that it doesn't reoccur. Because, again, everybody, we're talking about healing the body. We're not talking about taking the cancer into remission. We're talking about getting rid of it so that it does not come back. So if you could talk about that for a moment, just to, if say in this example, somebody's had their breast removed and we want to make sure that this cancer does not resurface again somewhere else, would you state that a lifestyle change is in order? Like you mentioned, it's not just about diet, it's about stress, it's about other things, but at the very least, the person is going to have to change their diet. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that was apparent to me because it's like, well, if I'm going to make this change and change my diet to this whole food, healthy diet, and then the cancer's gone, and then I go back to eating the way I did, it's probably going to come back, right? So that just kind of tells you it is a lifestyle change. It's not a temporary diet. You don't have to be as rigid, for example, with the diet as you do during recovery, because what you're trying to do during recovery is boost, it's like turbocharge your immune system. So you don't do any sugars and, you know, things like that. You eat very, very, you do a lot of juicing. You eat very clean. You eat an abundance of raw food. Now you can continue that, especially if you enjoy that, but you don't have to be as rigid about it. Sure, you can have some sweets here and there after you're all well, but it's still not a weekly or daily thing. You do have to change your lifestyle. You do have to maintain eating a whole food diet if you want to be well. So it's definitely something that has to be internalized and saying, okay, now I've learned how to eat healthy. I'm going to continue with it. Can I splurge every now and then and have, you know, this, that, and the other? Sure. Once a month or something like that is not going to, you know, knock over the house of cards. So it's fine to do that. But your everyday diet still needs to be healthy, whole foods, natural foods, plant-based foods, which is going to keep you well and keep you from having a recurrence. So, it's definitely not temporary. It is a lifestyle change, which is, you know, why I decided to start cooking, because I was like, well, this is something I'm going to be doing from here on out. So I need to like the food that I'm eating. I need to learn how to cook foods that are raw that I like. I need to learn how to eat in a way that I can sustain. And sure, there are lots of supplements and foods I ate that I didn't like, but that I don't have to eat now. Some of the juices I don't have to drink, things like that I drank during recovery. They don't have to do that now, but I do other things that keep me well. And I, you know, try not to eat sugar and processed foods and splurge occasionally, but stick to a healthy whole foods diet, and then you actually like it. Your body feels better. You crave fresh food. When you start eating processed food, you realize how little nutrition you're getting. So if you don't see raw, fresh foods on the plate, you realize this is just a processed mashup. So when your mindset changes, everything changes. Your taste buds change. You're thinking about food as fuel for the body and not just purely for taste. Really change, and not just to fill the belly. A lot of times we're just eating to fill up, you know, just to, you know, have something there so you're not hungry, as opposed to what did I eat today that boosts my immune system, that keeps me healthy. That's the type of thinking that goes in when you're eating, a whole foods type of diet. It's like, you know, if I'm having breakfast, it's not, I want pancakes and waffles or something. Because when you think about that, that's just flour, goo. There's nothing really nutritious about that unless it's, you know, a certain type of flour, whole grain, and you're still having fresh fruit and you're not pouring a bunch of sugar on top. So you start thinking, and it happens gradually, that you just become more cognizant of what real food is. And then that's what you want, and that's what you stick with.
Everybody, again, my special guest is Dr. Lathan. For those of you who are listening online, all you have to do is dial 347-324-5727. And if you are in the box, I see you up there. If you just press 1, all you have to do is press 1 on your telephone, and it'll let me know that you have a question and you'd like to ask it. Just press 1, and I'll bring you on board. My special guest is Dr. Lathan, Dr. Ruby Lathan. She hosts a show, actually, it's called the Veggie Chest, where she actually helps people make the transition from a meat-based diet to a plant-based diet. There are a lot of foods out there that you can eat. You know, when people think of vegetarian / vegan, they think of salads. You know, and all I'm going to be eating all day is salad. I'm tired of lettuce, you know. But no, that's not, don't have to just eat lettuce all day long. Dr. Lathan hosts, again, a show called The Veggie Chest, where she actually shows people how to prepare food that's delicious. And if you didn't even know that you weren't eating meat, then you would think that you were eating meat. By the way, somebody does have a question. Let me bring you on board. Let me get your last 4 digits. 1 second. Okay, last 4 digits, 7796. 7796, you're on the air with Dr. Lathan. Welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you very much, Doctor. I just wanted to, I was listening to the show.
Your phone's kind of breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I wanted to get your comment. Can you hear me, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I wanted to be... First of all, I wanted to say over the past year, the two women that I love the most, my mother and my wife, were both diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And I guess my first comment or question would be regarding my mother, who is 79 years old, and she is in stage 4 of cancer, and she is currently receiving treatment, chemotherapy treatment, two times per week. Mm-hmm. And in terms of taking a holistic approach, at this point, at this stage, is that something that would be considered? Mm-hmm. Kind of like to get your thoughts on that.
Sure. You can start a holistic approach at any time in the process. So, you know, with people who are, you know, doing chemo, you know, one of the things that's, you know, switching to the type of diet that we're talking about that's full of fresh, you know, raw foods, high nutrient foods, very dense in nutrition is really important, because it will help the recovery from the chemo come about sooner, and it will strengthen the body, because basically chemo breaks down the immune system, and so we've got to build it back up. So you can still take certain supplements during the during the chemotherapy. There are quite a few, you know, and then it has to be individual on the individual person. But yes, you can take a holistic approach during this time. You can definitely still do, you know, stretching and things like that. Yoga is also a really good therapy because it helps you relax. If you don't have enough energy from that, just for that, it could just be stretching and just meditating. Also is very helpful to kind of get rid of that fear and move forward in faith, believing that what you're doing is going to work, whether you're doing, you know, traditional or alternative. If you don't believe it's going to work, it's probably not going to work. So that's really important. And the nutritional piece is highly important. So juicing and doing other things during this time can be beneficial. A lot of times people don't have an appetite, so juicing works because, you know, you don't have to be all that hungry to have the juice, but you get quite a bit of nutrients from juicing. Simple things. I always give a very simple recipe for cabbage, apple, and ginger juice because cabbage is a very strong cancer fighter. Ginger helps settle the stomach and reduces inflammation in the body, and the apple has lots of pectin and things that are very healthy, and those three together really are a very simple juice that's palatable by most people. So that's something you could start with and make sure it's organic. It's very important to eat organic during this time because you don't want to add more things for your body to have to deal with, and pesticides are not natural and something your body now has to try to neutralize. So you want to eat organic. But anytime you're going through that, it's the natural. You can definitely combine the approaches. There are some supplements you don't take at the same time, you know, that kind of can magnify the chemo. But most things, like eating a natural diet, most food-based therapies don't interfere with the chemotherapy. There might be supplements or herbs that could interfere. And, you know, again, working with someone who knows that, it would be important. But generally, a food-based approach, juicing and eating healthy, has no negative effect on chemo. It's only going to have positive benefits.
The question, when the doctors are prescribing various medicines for chemotherapy, are there certain medicines that are a definite no-no that you should not take?
You know,
they list all these different side effects. They have so many different side effects. Are there certain, when you're taking the approach, both approaches, is there certain medicine that the doctors prescribe for chemotherapy treatment that a person just should not take?
I really wouldn't be able to answer that. I have to know the details, and I don't.
Okay.
Haven't gotten into the very specific chemotherapy drugs, so I couldn't answer that with a full answer there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And can I ask one more question regarding my wife?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. She has completed her chemotherapy treatments,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the doctors she had a history of cancer in her family, of breast cancer in her
mm-hmm.
family, so. She has done genetic testing,
mm-hmm.
and she has had a history of cancer in her family. She's a mm-hmm. she was always a has always been a very healthy eater. No meat, maybe fish.
Mm-hmm.
Very conscientious about what she eats, and it was a real blow to her when she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She has had a double mastectomy, and she is considered to be cancer-free at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Her oncologist has suggested that she have an ovarectomy,
mm-hmm.
to have her ovaries moved, because it was explained to me. And my understanding is that the ovaries produce estrogen, and which the estrogen can produce cancer. So that will be the next phase of her treatment. I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, the estrogen doesn't produce cancer. It kind of feeds cancer.
Speech
So,
cancer. Okay.
right. So, but we all, you know, most women who haven't had hysterectomies have ovaries, and they're not, that's not the cause. So I would, if it were me, I would not do that. But that's a very individual decision to make. I think, you know, there are other, the holistic approach you could take to kind of give you more of a safety net than necessarily taking out the ovaries. It's something, you know, I'd have to get a full picture. You know, I'm just saying, if it were me, I can't tell you what your wife should do, but I wouldn't do that just because it's really not the cause. You know, when you're eating, especially a plant-based diet, your estrogen levels are going to be much lower because you're not getting it from the dairy and meat products. So that would be something to be conscientious of, and it sounds like she's eating that way already. You know, eating organic would be a better approach, you know, juicing. Again, positive visualization and things like that are, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do and definitely supplements you can take to help boost the immune system rather than kind of taking taking something out that doesn't really cause the problem per se. I understand the theory behind it, but it really isn't the issue. That's my, you know, personal opinion on that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carla, if you can hang on for a second, I want to just follow up on something that you had. Your first question was, you had asked concerning the chemo. I guess let me ask this. What was the doctor suggesting that the chemo do? And the reason I'm asking that is this, because, for example, when it comes to certain prescriptions, they prescribe it with a result in mind. For example, somebody might say, okay, well, I'm going to give you this particular drug to reduce inflammation. Well, then we can look at an alternative or what if we eliminate certain things from our diet, you know, that cause inflammation, like, for example, meat and dairy might cause inflammation. So we know that if we eliminate meat and dairy, then we can reduce the inflammation or eliminate the inflammation and not have to, you know, go the route of the prescription that the doctor is, you know, suggesting. So with the chemo, and I know we're talking cancer here, is he just specifically stating that the chemo is to arrest the cancer, or is he stating that the chemo is for something other than, you know, something more specific than just arresting the cancer, but, maybe alleviating a particular issue that your mom might be dealing with?
Physician doctor number two. The initial physician explained to us that his particular treatment was two treatments of chemotherapy per week, and this particular treatment was to, even with the treatments, with his diagnosis, it was that within a year and a half to 2 years that she would be dead, that she would expire. Even with the treatment and stage four cancer. Unfortunately, he gave her a treatment in January of 2014, I believe. Yeah, 2014, and he gave her this in a pill form, and it almost killed her. It was unsupervised. And we almost lost her. But after her treatment, after she pulled through, she lost all functions, kidney function. She was in the hospital for 2 months. And after she was in the hospital, she went to rehabilitation. And she finally, for about a month, and then she returned home. And then when we stayed with that doctor for about another 2 months, because we knew that he had a history with her and all of her records, and we didn't want to make an abrupt change. She had very negative side effects from the medicine that he prescribed. And then he was pretty distant after that event happened, after we almost lost her. We now have another physician and another institute that is caring for her. And they went from two times per week to once a week. And she was seemed to be doing very well with that, but she had developed some sores in her mouth. So they took her off of that treat. They took her off for, I believe, 3 weeks, and it appears as though that the cancer is becoming aggressive. So now they want to go back to two times per week. And so that's where we're at right now. But to answer your question, it has always been to just sustain her, but not for a cure.
Okay. So just kind of keeping the cancer at bay long enough, or just enough to keep her going.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she is being very strong, and over the experience from the hospitalization from last summer was very traumatic for her.
Mm-hmm.
Health-wise, very traumatic. She is not the same as she was before that incident.
Right.
Wow. Well, the reason I asked the question that I did was because there are always alternatives in the natural realm, for lack of a better term, that correspond with and far are so much more effective than what the doctors, and I'd say more effective as though they're effective. It's not been effective. But, for example, there are herbs, correct, Dr. Lathan, that are cancer-curing, have cancer-curing properties, like, again, red clover, dandelion, burdock, and yellow dock, very alkaline herbs that actually have cancer-curing properties that would do and have been known to do what the doctors are claiming to do. I mean, if they're just trying to sustain the cancer, and again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to give any medical advice here. But research has shown, if you do some research, you'll see that there are actual herbs out here that actually possess anti-cancer agents, and this is what the doctors are saying that they're giving her the chemo for. Correct, doctor?
Yeah, there are several. I mean, there's curcumin, which is turmeric, but it's in capsule form that has anti-cancer properties, helps arrest cancer. There is B17, which is a vitamin. You find it in apricot seeds. That's been very potent against that. There's food grade hydrogen peroxide, usually prescribed by a naturopathic physician or a holistic physician. There's IP6, which is a supplement that I often recommend, that I took during the cancer recovery, that really helps boost the immune system. Black raspberry is one, definitely Pardiaco, the tea, SEAC tea, and then vitamin D. A lot of people are very deficient in vitamin D. You need to take very high doses, like 30,000 international units a day. That's something that can be taken in conjunction with any chemo therapy or other things to really boost the immune system. And then also probiotics are very important, because the balance of the good bacteria in the digestive tract gets killed as well, so you're not absorbing the food as much and the nutrients from the food. So it's very important during chemotherapy and after to take probiotics, so it helps restore the balance in the digestive tract as well. It lessens the negative effects of chemotherapy, and it also allows you to have a better nutrient absorption. So there are lots of alternatives. If you did, like, for example, decide, the chemo was too much, I would definitely be, doing a combination of several of the things I just mentioned. Some people do high doses of vitamin C intravenously. They've done the B17 either orally or intravenously as well. Those things have shown to be effective. There's been a bacon soda therapy, taking bacon soda and water, like a teaspoon a day. You'd have to, you know, be careful so you're not getting too much salt. But there are numerous remedies that have worked for many, many people. So it's just really a matter of, you know, choosing the right combination, and some of which can be done in combination with what you're already doing, things like the IP6 and the probiotics and juicing and, you know, aloe vera and all those things can be done in combination. Mm-hmm. Others you wouldn't want to do at the same time, let's say the B17 or maybe even the hydrogen peroxide, but others can be. So there are alternatives, and definitely things you can do now, and that also wife can do as well now during, you know, now that she's in recovery, to stay well.
Okay.
Did you have another question?
Many of the things that you were mentioning or that you're discussing, my mother has been doing. You know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, when she received her diagnosis, she did not tell me, and you know, she, you know, kept it very private, and that made it very difficult for, you know, myself and my siblings, you know, to assist her and to get the information to her that, you know, that she needed to, you know, to really help her. She's very conscientious about care for herself in terms of her physician and in terms of seeking out information from a holistic approach. I know she was, you know, getting the alkaline water and the things that you were mentioning about regarding bacon soda and things like that. Mm-hmm. Many things she was doing, but I can tell you this, she did not share that information with her physician.
Mm-hmm.
So she was doing a combination of she was and continues to do a combination of both. My concern is that, you know, she has an appointment on Friday, and they have a new medication that they would like for her to try. And be quite frank with you, I just don't want anyone experimenting with my mother, and I kind of feel like that because I know that they don't have all of the answers.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I totally understand. And you know, I would maybe seek the advice of a naturopathic physician or holistic MD. I work often in the DC area. I work with Dr. Theodore Watkins, who's a MD, but he's a holistic MD, and so he would be better able to advise on specific drug interactions and things that, just to answer the question that you had, like, absolutely don't take this because it destroys certain things in the body, or if you're not in the area, you know, someone in your area that's a naturopathic physician could better advise on those specifics. But I totally understand what you mean about the experimentation, because, again, it is somewhat of an experiment. They don't know what effect it will have, and they're hoping for the best.
Do you have a website where I could reach out to you?
Sure. My website is rubylathon.com. That's RubyLathon.com.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you very much.
Sure.
What about, let me ask, before you go, Carla, her diet. Again, it's a holistic approach here, and we know that, for example, and it's sad that even that at hospitals, you would think that they would be more conscientious about what it is that they're feeding the patients, because a lot of what the patients are in the hospital for can be attributed a lot, in many cases, to what they're eating. And they actually serve meat and dairy in the hospitals, which it seems crazy to me. But what is her diet like? Again, because, again, as we're trying to make sure that she gets all of the nutrients that she needs to recover and to make sure that her immune system is built up, there are certain things that are going to tear down the immune system in addition to the chemo, which is going to compromise the immune system. We don't want it further compromised by certain animal fats that might come along with eating dead flesh, correct, doctor?
If I could say something about that without, let me say this, in terms of dealing with, you know, the situation with my wife and my mother and going to chemotherapy treatments with them, the advice that I've been given is to eat what you want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which goes totally against, you know, everything that you know is being discussed here today. So you know, food, you know, seems to, you know, food seems to be the medicine that people want, the feel good. When you're down or you're depressed or you're going through something, the first thing you want to do is eat what you want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So going through the both of them with chemotherapy, after the treatments, you know, the suggestion is, you know, you can eat what you want to eat, you know, eat what you want to eat, because you make sure you eat because you need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if that answers your question. My mother has a very good diet, but I'm sure that, you know, when you feel like you're at the end of your rope,
mm-hmm.
you want to have some enjoyment in your life. And food can be enjoyable,
mm-hmm.
and so poor choices can be made.
Doctor,
that is true, and unfortunately, pretty much every person I've worked with says that's the advice that's been giving them about their dietary choices. There's a guy online who said he had just gotten out of just finished. Having surgery for colon cancer, and his first meal in the hospital was a sloppy Joe, and that's when the bells went off for him, saying, maybe this isn't a good idea to eat this. So they're giving that advice because they have no information, knowledge, or studying that how food is medicine and can be used as medicine. So given that point of view, they're going to say that because they're saying, just eat to keep your weight on, to keep your energy up. Right, so that's the advice that's given, and it is wrong. You do want to definitely eat, that's for sure. But you want to, you know, food is the fuel of your body. I mean, it's what is going to heal you. And when that's, you know, without it, it makes the process of recovery a lot slower because you're getting now piecemealed nutrients here and there, as opposed to when you could be giving your body this boost of what you need is a mega boost of vitamins, a mega boost of high energy food. And that's what juicing does. That's what taking, you know, the whole food vitamins and things do. It's giving your body the, you know, the mega boost that it needs. And that's why, you know, therapy should be, we should be dripping intravenous vitamins to people is what we should be doing, but they don't do that. And so you have to do it yourself through your food. So that's unfortunately the advice that the doctors are given. But I have many, many friends who are MDs, and they say, you know, they've had no more than 8 hours of nutrition training, and it is not about how to use food as medicine. It is just about, you know, calories and how food can interact with certain medications. So understanding that they have no knowledge of that, so therefore they can't give you advice about it. And so therefore they give wrong advice about it, like eat what you want. And I do understand, you know, if you feel like you're at the end of your life, that's true. But hopefully if you're going through a therapy, you want to believe that you're not ending your life, so that it's worth the short-term sacrifice to maybe take a few things that don't taste so good, because sometimes some of the juices or supplements aren't that pleasant. But generally, the food should be and can be. So you definitely want to make sure, you know, you can't tell your mom how to think about things, but, you know, you want to be thinking life and not death.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your call, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I wanted to say thank you very much, Dr. Lathan, for your information. Please continue to do the things that you're doing. It's been a real blessing to me. Thank you.
Thank you. I wish you the best.
Thank you for calling. And again, I'm going to make sure that Dr. Lathan gives her information again for others who might just be tuning in. We're going to make sure that we get this information out to people, because just like the brother who just called, there are other people out there that may be suffering from whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's gout, whether it's tuberculosis, whatever it is, heart disease, liver disease, whatever it is. Like Dr. Lathan says, when you cure the body, you cure the body, okay? So if you cure the body of one thing, you're going to cure the body of whatever else is going on. And Dr. Lathan, if you, again, could you please give your web address and how people can contact you? Because, again,
sure.
As Dr. Lathan mentioned, brother, that she knows naturopaths, okay? So that if you wanted to get with a naturopath, speak with a naturopath, and get deeper into it, because, again, like she mentioned, there are certain things that she would need more information about and, you know, to be able to, you know, give a more in-depth answer. But she can connect you with other people. So, Dr. Lathan, how would people go about reaching you?
Sure. They can reach me via my website at rubylathan.com, RubyLathon.com. You could email me at ruby@rubylathan.com. And if you're in the area, you can call at 202-709-7829 to make an appointment or reservation or something like that. So, yeah, any of those three ways, and there's quite a bit of information on the website. So if you just want healthy recipes or general articles and information about healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, it's all there too.
Again, doctor, could you tell them that we were about to talk about the Veggie Chats for a moment? Again, there is a show that Dr. Lathan hosts, and she's made it so easy to make this transition, because she understands that, you know, when you're making your transition from a meat plant or from a meat-based diet to a plant-based diet, again, like I mentioned, there are a lot of people just think salad. I'm going to be eating salad all day. Oh, well, although that might not necessarily be a bad thing, that's not the only thing that you have as far as choices to eat. Dr. Lathan hosts a show where she shows you how to prepare food to make it delicious. Could you tell them about the Veggie Chest, doctor?
Sure. And I don't even eat salads every day, but I do like salad. But there's a lot more to eating than salad. Sure, you can find it either at theveggiechest.com or at on my website, or you can go to YouTube and put in the Veggie Chest. You'll find it there. It's on thefoodchannel.com as well. So there are a lot of places to find it. And basically what I'm using are whole foods. I try to use in the recipes foods that have dual purpose of tasting good and healing the body. So I'll have a new video coming out soon that is a eggless egg salad using coconut instead of eggs. And so coconut is very healing, raw coconut meat, using that instead of the white of eggs. And so I'm always looking for how can I make food that is good for you taste really good. And that's really the goal of the show. And so that's, the recipes are great. They're food that I would want to eat. You don't feel deprived. You don't feel like you're eating raw food because it's just food at this point. It becomes, well, I can eat raw all day and not realize that I've eaten a raw diet all day, because to me it's just food. I might have started with a smoothie, and then I might have a raw rice dish that happens to just be soaked instead of cooked. And so you have these foods that are full of nutrients and very filling, and they taste great. And so that's I think that's the difference in the way that I cook and the way a lot of other maybe recipes you'll find online that are just replacing meat. I'm trying to add nutrients at the same time so that everything you're eating is healing the body in some way, keeping you well, and also tastes good.
You know, Dr. Lathan, I just want to say thank you so much. I appreciate we've gone over the time, and I want to be respectful of your time. I thank you so much for being my special guest today. And, you know, I thank you to the caller for calling in. Brother, your mother is going to be in my prayers. And, again, your wife is going to be in my prayers as well. And that's why I do this show. That's why Dr. Latham is a regular on this show for you, okay, and others that find themselves in your situation, whether it's a mother, whether it's a wife, whether it's a child, a granddaughter, regardless of what the situation is, if it's related to health and healing, we know that there are alternatives to what the doctors are saying. Because just like the doctor said, you can eat anything you want to eat. That's crazy, okay? I mean, that's in many cases, it's because we've eaten what we wanted to eat that actually have us finding ourselves having to go to the doctor in the first place. And so, again, I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day, my brother, to call in, to share this information with us, to enjoy it and sit in this conversation with us. Again, this show could be the answer to a prayer. Oftentimes we say our prayers and we ask God for the answers. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. This show could be the answer to many, many prayers. I pray that it is. I pray that you pray and ask God where to direct you and where to go from here. But I think that you know you heard the truth this evening. Dr. Latham, I want to thank you again. Sister, any parting words for our listeners?
Sure. It's just that you're not helpless. You can take charge wherever you are in the process. You know, take charge of your health and know that it's within your power to do. And whatever it is you decide to do, you know, believe in it, go full force ahead with it, and, you know, seek advice when you need it. But know that you're not helpless and you're not alone. There are other people out there who are ready and willing to help you and can lead you on this path. It can be very scary when you're dealing with the illness, as I know, but seek support and then move forward in faith.
And by all means, and I just want to, I can't really add to what you just said, but I know that it's important to surround yourself with people because we're talking about a lifestyle change, okay? So you're going to have to surround yourself with people who have made the same choices that you're endeavoring to make, because you can't get support from people who have not made that change themselves. I mean, you're invariably bound to meet somebody who say, you know, I knew somebody who tried that and it didn't work, you know. So you got to surround yourself with people who say, hey, I know somebody that tried that and it did work, okay? Today, you spoke to somebody who knows for a fact that it works, okay? This is not somebody who's talking about she heard that she knew somebody that, you know, cured themselves of thyroid cancer. She cured herself of thyroid cancer. So you're getting first-hand knowledge. And so, again, I encourage you, make sure you call Dr. Latham. You get in contact with her, and let's start this process of returning to wellness, because that's God's will. And you didn't tune into this show by accident, okay? So, Dr. Latham, again, to you, sister, I say thank you. May God continue to bless you and open doors for you. And I am so honored and humbled that you are a member of the Jawanza for Life team. Again, everybody, Dr. Latham comes on once a month. So we'll be having her back in 30 days, okay, to continue this discussion about holistic health. Don't wait until the next time she's on. Don't wait a month. Call her. Check out the Veggie Chest. Comes on, you can just type it in on YouTube, The Veggie Chest, Dr. Latham, and it's going to pop up, okay? So for all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, for those who heard this show and you know that somebody you know and love should have heard this show and needs this information, or it could be the answer to their prayers, share the link, okay? Just share the link. Share it with them, okay? Again, my name is Jawanza. Dr. Latham, sister, I thank you again. I mean, I can't thank you enough. I thank you for my caller, and I thank you for all of the other listeners who are listening, and I'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. Take care now. Everybody, that was the awesome Dr. Ruby Latham, okay? I hope this show is what you thought it would be, and that is the answer to a prayer, okay? God heard your cry. And the answer is here. Now, the question is, what are you going to do? Take time, pray about it, okay? Seek guidance, because you've been praying for the answer. God answered your prayer. My name is Jawanza, This is Juwanza for Life. Thank you so much for your time. I love you too. Peace and blessings.